The European debt crisis includes Italy and Greece, but Finland?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now, the global perspective on business and economics. The bond market in Europe has been on a roller coaster ride this week. Things have calmed a bit today, a day after borrowing costs in Italy shot past this critical 7% limit, some say a tipping point at paying back debt. And other countries that don't have major debt issues also saw those borrowing costs go up. The BBC's Andrew Walker is with us now from London with the latest. Hey, Andrew.
Good morning, Steve.
So what does it mean that we saw these interest rates for places like Finland, the Netherlands, and Austria shoot up too?
It means that financial markets are becoming increasingly concerned about the wider economic situation in the Eurozone and the possibility that some other governments might perhaps get into difficulty with their government debt. Some of those cases, it looks like a remote possibility. I have to say some of them do have very strong government finances, but it's a measure, I think, of just how concerned markets have become. The one I think is most worrying, though, is France, because France does have a little bit of a more precarious situation with its government finances. And of course, it's a really big one.
And is this a turning point, Andrew? We keep hearing about contagion and fears of contagion in the Eurozone. Is this it?
It's certainly a troubling development. I have to say that in early trading today, some of those interest rates have retreated a bit following reports of intervention in the bond market by the European Central Bank. But certainly it's conceivable that we might one day look back at the latest developments and see it as something of a turning point.
The BBC's Andrew Walker in London. Andrew, thank you.
My pleasure, Steve.
And over to China now, where the economy is growing at a brisk 9%. But is that enough to pull the rest of the world out of a recession? Some Chinese investors say no. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Rob Schmitz.
It's called the China Venture Capitalist Confidence Index, and in its six-year history, confidence has never been lower. University of San Francisco's Mark Kinney says venture capitalists usually spend money on innovative companies.
But ultimately, it's very reliant on the fact that venture capitalists can sell those companies that they help create into public markets or through acquisition.
Problem is, the global economic crisis means there are fewer buyers. Last year, venture capitalists invested $4 billion into hundreds of deals in China. But responses to this survey show that economic turmoil in the EU and the U.S. have weighed heavily on the Chinese. They're even losing confidence in China's economy. Kinney says all this pessimism means investors in China will likely hold on to their money.
This means that there'll be somewhat less innovation, somewhat fewer companies that are providing necessary products and services, and also ultimately there'll be somewhat less employment than we would otherwise have.
Which is no way to pull the rest of the world out of a global downturn. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are down at the moment. Walmart in Japan is planning on opening nearly two dozen stores in that country in the coming year. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow was up 17 points to close at 12,096.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, combining drug discovery with technology to turn science into diabetes treatments at novonordisk-us.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2012 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
This week, the United Nations Children's Agency, UNICEF, said an increasing number of kids in Somalia are getting caught in the crossfire there in violence. Somalia, of course, has been in shambles for more than 20 years now. A lot of people have left, giving rise to an informal economy next door in Nairobi, Kenya, in a place called Little Mogadishu. The first of three stories from East Africa, and Marketplace's Scott Tong filed this report.
Here in Kenya, the big topic is immigration from Somalia. Most Somalis land in an edgy part of Nairobi called Eastleigh. Local economic analyst Robert Shaw.
It is almost like a state within a state. You can go there and you can get anything. And
You mean legal and illegal?
I'm sure there's both.
Cell phones, bootleg DVDs, what appear to be designer clothes.
So what if I just, I'll give you 1,000 for all
no,
that?
No, it's not possible, brother. It's not possible.
So, but
we
you
can't
didn't...
do that perfect.
Eastley is booming, but the investment is hard to track. Eastley native Hussein Farah says deals here tend to be off the books.
In the Somali community, we don't go into a lot of writings. We work on what is known as mutual trust.
At least part of Eastley comes from what you and I would call the bad guys. Here's analyst Peter Pham at the Atlantic Council.
There was an explosion of development that somehow coincidentally was timed at the same time as the explosion in piracy and the explosion in ransoms.
It's not just pirates and ransom. Somalia's radical Islamic group Al-Shabaab has crafted a complex web of illegal trade, linked, of all things, to kebabs. First, Shabaab suppliers chop down Somali trees for charcoal, which then gets exported, says Rashid Abdi at the International Crisis Group.
The key destinations are actually the Middle East, and is primarily used in the hotel industry for charcoal grilling.
The proceeds buy sugar, which Al-Shabaab then smuggles into Kenya and sells on the black market.
The sugar you'll be having in a restaurant in Nairobi will probably be sugar that was imported through a business that is now increasingly controlled by Al-Shabaab.
It seems an open secret here in Little Mogadishu. The nefarious stirred in with the legit. But Abdi doesn't expect a crackdown. Why? Because the gray economy here is booming. Even in Kenya, it comes down to jobs. In Nairobi, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Finally, a new survey over at CareerBuilder.com gives us a better idea of who's in charge of companies. A poll found a majority of executives bring their lunches to work, drive SUVs, and part their hair on the right. As for company parties, about a third of managers say they don't like to drink at those events. Most drink wine or beer, but 3% say they take shots of liquor. More on the poll at our new website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
It might be called the European Union, but economic equality wasn't really part of the deal, you know.
Portugal, Italy, Spain, Greece, Ireland, you know. Which country can survive to this kind of policies? Only Germany.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Union, maybe. Happy family, not so much. That and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.